Father, your spirit this morning would do only what it would do. I would be in rhythm. I'd be like the oven mitt and just put me on. Help me serve it well. I don't want to serve it too Sean Capozzi hot, too Sean Capozzi cold. I just want to serve it just Jesus, just right. So Father, help me have courage and sensitivity this morning. And I would walk that fine line for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. There's hard things to be reminded of in this series, for Pete's sake. This is episode 2, but it's hard stuff. Like I said, some of the stuff next week's episode is some of the most abused scripture in all the church. Next week's episode is one of the most abused scripture in all the church, and I would like to avoid it, but I can't. That's not what a shepherd does. I'm going to do my very best with sensitive material to try and walk in balance and encourage. Because sometimes we need our tree shaken a little bit because there's stuff we should know, but we forgot. Ever know that? Stuff we should know. I forgot about that. Yeah. Say for Pete's sake. Yeah. So I'm going to try my best because I think these types of things in Scripture have been abused by both sides. Both sides seem abusive. You ever been abused with Scripture before? Come on. I didn't want nothing to do with the church because I was abused with Scripture. It happens, right? It happens. I'm going to do my best to give you God. I feel God's perspective from beyond the pulpit, and I'm going to mix in a little bit of me, and I'll try to tell you when that is, you know. But this is a letter from the church to the church. Right? Who is the church? I'm the church. So this is a letter to us. So if you're not, like, I've not accepted Jesus, my Lord and Savior, I'm not part of the church, I didn't say that, don't be offended by anything I say today. Nothing. I ain't talking to you. But if you're the church, say, hey, you might be offended. I'm just going to preach it, but I'm just telling you, this is for the church. This is for the church. I didn't write it, for Pete's sake. I'm just reading it to y'all, you know. But for Pete's sake, it's supposed to be a building block stuff. Our heart changes should be measured by some of this stuff. If we're the redeemed church, if we're really changing, then are we changing? You know, are we, for Pete's sake, more like him? And a little less like, you name what you used to be, right? So since I am the church and you are the church, I have a particular fact I want to pay attention to. The church is not perfect and never will be. What? You know why? It's made up of people. I am the church. That means it is imperfect. Doesn't give an excuse to be a cotton-headed ninny muggins. Right? It doesn't give you the excuse to be a cotton-headed ninny muggins. Well, it can't be perfect, so wah, 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 wah. Well, that's not what he said. God said, be perfect because I'm perfect. It means keep on going. Put the effort in, keep on going. Right? But when it comes to maturing, I say, for Pete's sakes, we don't expect this. We don't expect a 5-year-old to get what a 15-year-old should be doing. But if you got a 15-year-old that's not doing what a 5-year-old does, we think that's broken and abnormal. And sometimes we at the church, we want to talk like we're 15, but we act like we're 5. I know, this is hard. I'm not even into the scriptures yet, Pastor Sharon. I'm just talking, right? Can anybody name anything the church should know and do by now? Love. We should know how to love. What's that? Forgiveness. Stuff we should be doing better as the church, right? It's like, well, I love all the time. We'll go to 1 Corinthians 13. Let that cheese grater you a little bit. If you get past love is patient, I'll clap for you. I get stuck right there. That's number one on the list. Takes me a while, Jody, to work through that. You know, I'm working on it. So if you're the church now, shouldn't we all as Christians kind of be growing and not living kind of according to this world? Live a little, I brought my uncivilized t-shirt out. Shouldn't we be living a little more uncivilized against maybe not for the sake of being rebellious, but when it comes to civilians' law and God's law should win in our lives every time because we are the church. No matter how I feel about it, because there's some things I don't feel great about. When I read it, ever read something in your word and go, I don't feel great about that. Yeah, it happens to me, you know. And we learned last week that he's looking for genuine faith, right? Say genuine. Not genuine. I know you. Genuine. I love having you guys back today. Did you come to apply for the backup point guard for the Suns? Because we actually going to need one. Just want to make sure. We learned that God wants to reveal your faith to the world. And for peak's sake, we know this at New Season Christian Fellowship. The world starts at home. He wants to reveal your faith at home, right? So now it's time for us to be prepared to do both. Say now. So starting in episode 2, we'll be more along the lines of jumping all in. Remember last week I did the light lead in from Boston. It was a smooth, we did more than a feeling. We just pleased in the service. It was just smooth. It's not going to be like that today. It jumps like right off or right off the bat. So I'm trying to soften you up. That's what this is. This is butter in the pan. You know, I can't help what's about to be cooked. It's there. But I can soften it maybe as best I can, you know. But for Pete's sake, it's a letter from the church to the church. It's a letter for now. It's a letter for me. It's a letter for you. But it's only meant for his church. Say, for Pete's sake, we should know stuff like this. 1 Peter 2:1. 1 Petra 2:1. So, say so. That's indicating a jump. Like, so, this is what's about to happen. Put aside every trace of malice. I'm going to be slow rolling through here, Jared. You may have to poke him, Nick. You're like, wake up, he's going to the next verse by now, you know. Every trace of malice. So here's our first splash, a big jump. In our new lives, have we learned not to have dishonorable intentions? I hope so. I hope we're learning to be less selfish, right? How about this? Do we hold grudges? That word malice has the word grudges involved. Not hoping for payback anymore, are you? Anybody ever hoping for payback? Yeah. I was thinking, this is where God, yeah. I say, Lord, you're not Italian. How can you pay back? That's what, yeah, I'm looking for the retribution, you know? I'm not talking, I've been professional marriage and family counselor for a long time. I'm just going to give a general marriage issue, okay? I'll give you an example. Sometimes you have husbands and wives that interrupt each other while they're trying to talk. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. You're trying to talk, and maybe your spouse has interrupted you, and you said, hey, you interrupted me. He said, well, then the instant thing that comes up, I was waiting for that, because you interrupted me 6 times yesterday and 4 on Thursday. Boom, drop the mic. I've been waiting. Anybody? Grudges. Malice. Oh, no. Let it be, let it be. He says, put aside every trace of malice. And here we go, and all deceit. Say every. All. Mm. God's church should be dealing in genuine faith. We're talking about not selling Jesus. Just give what you got. Genuine faith, right? When I am to live completely genuine, how is that supposed to look? It's supposed to be always. You can't be genuine here and not genuine at Walmart. You can't be genuine here and not genuine at work, because then you're just not genuine. This is a letter to the church. I'm in the first verse. Terry, don't look at me that way. I'll move on. So his church, as his church, have you ever had selfish intentions? Or have you ever sought out maybe some revenge? Ever ask yourself as disciples, do I hold grudges ever? Yeah. I see you shaking your head, but I'm wondering. And I'm not talking about, how about this too? I'm not talking about removing healthy boundaries. I'm not talking about removing healthy boundaries. There are people I want to get so healthy, just get healthy away from me. I'm praying for your health, and I pray that we never run into each other again. Mahalo. But so seriously, I'm pray for your health, but my boundary says, no, no, bro. No mas. Comprende? No mas. Why? Because I needed a healthy boundary for me. That's different than having a grudge and holding malice, right? I'm just saying, for Pete's sake, the church should grow here. And we just raised our hand and said, we have trouble here. So one of the churches are growing, right? Because we got to grow here. We have to. It says, so put aside every trace of malice and all deceit and hypocrisy. Say, be genuine. Be a person of his word and of yours. Be a person of his word and of yours. I want to give, I'm probably going to embarrass Pastor Justin this morning, but I was very proud of him as dad. The other day he was faced with a very difficult dilemma. He had an almost five-year-old and a three-year-old that at some point in time in that day, he had promised to take them swimming at Mimi and Papa's house. It was late in the day, and there was many things to do that they had to get done, and it would have caused a challenge by the end of the day to follow through with that word. And his daughter said to him, but Daddy, you promised. But baby, this, I'm trying to logically explain to you why this is like going to be impossible and difficult to do. But you said you gave your word. And instantly, he had a choice. He got talked to his wife and he said, hey, we're going to be a little delayed in what we're doing. Why? Because I got to be a man of my word because I want her to trust me. When I say something is true, it's true. And if I want her to trust God, then she's got to trust me. And those are hard decisions to be men of your word in times when it's just not easy, right? It's just not. And hypocrisy, say things, right? And hypocrisy, displayed, revealed, it's all in our lives. We got to be consistently reliable more often. As a church, we got to be a little more consistent. Anybody have a consistency issue? I do. My exercise program is the least consistent thing the planet has. It's more unstable than radioactive activity. It's not stable. But we got to have no hypocrisy. And it says, and envy. Say, put it away. Put envy away. Are you discontent? Think about this. Are you discontent with what you have or don't have because of what others have? Facebook, Facebook, I watch you. I wish I was better too. I'm mad at them because what they do. Do, 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 do. Anybody? It's quiet in here, Andrew. We have envy problems because we're human. That's why the church, this he's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. He understands there's issues, but we have to get past, we got to mature past those issues. We have to realize it's not their issues because Andrew's so blessed. He rolled up in a Rolls today and helicoptered in, you know. He's got a caviar ring. I wish I had a caviar ring. You know? No. We can't be resentful of the blessings that others have and be the church. We're praying for other people to be blessed. We can't resent when they are. Say, don't be jealous. Put it away. Right? We all need to put it away. And then there's this great word that in the same verse, it says, and. We're in the first verse. There's more. And I think this is a good time to put your phone away and your timepiece away because I'm going to slowly roll through this like I don't usually do. It says, put away all slander. No talking badly about people. Say all slander. No more damaging people with our words. No more hateful speech. Now, I'm going to read this, and I want us to hear it, because I think I could even end service right there, but I'm not going to. So put aside every trace of malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander and hateful speech. Put my picture up, if you can. Yeah. Mic drop. Right there, that is enough to work on for the next 20 years for me. But there's more. We're in deep. Remember, I told this was jumping in. We didn't sail into this one. It's like, whoo, cannonball. You know, I didn't know it was that cold, Pastor. It's cold. 1 Peter 2, 2 through 3. It's going to get it more interesting. And it says, as newborn babies, that should feel insulting. Right? Newborn babies, I've been a Christian since Moses got the commandments. I've been a Christian longer than you have. I'm not talking how long you've been a Christian. This is the letter to the church. If you're the church, say, I'm the church. So Peter says to the church, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word. Sounds very eloquent, doesn't it? Yeah. For Pete's sake, what's he saying? He says the church should stop neglecting what they need to do to grow. You can't neglect the daily importance of reading God's word and expect to grow. If Sunday's the only time you hear God's word, you're going to stay a baby. I didn't write it, he did. Are you having mature problems in your life? Read your Bible. Is it going to fix everything? No, but it's what Peter said, that God said, is a way that you can grow. I don't understand it. Read it. Get a different translation. Find a teaching on it. But if we are the church, we're responsible for that. And it's time that we grow in that. It says, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye, say ye, that ye may grow thereby. And so be and have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And I use the Old King English because I want to mess with it a little bit. You know what it's saying when you read that? Tasted. God's gracious. This is what it says. You've experienced God, right? Because you're the church. You can't be the church without experiencing God and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're not part of the church. But once you're part of the church, for Pete's sake, should we who have tasted the grace of God for our own macked up lives, our own macked up decisions, those of us that are actually a church were rescued from something that we knew we needed rescued from. We realized all of sin and fall short of the glory of God. We were a mess. We realized we needed that and we wanted God's grace for us, right? And he's saying, hey, you tasted that. Why are you not passing that out? Why does everybody else get the, but you get the grace? I'm not saying beat yourself. I'm saying grace. Give out that. You've tasted it. Give it out, right? Say, I'm the church. Right. Church needs to understand that for Pete's sake, right? 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. You who are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. Jesus is everything. He's the cornerstone that everything's built on. He's the living stone. It says he was rejected by people, but was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones. And you are living stones that God is building his spiritual temple with now. How's the Lord building the church in the earth? You, living stones. So this message is so important for us because if we're going to be a strong enough stone to be built upon, we got to have some of these things down in our lives, right? What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. I have a question. Ever sacrifice your own wants, desires, urges, and passions because God said no? And you were obedient and said, okay. And they don't even have to be like sinful, crazy things. It could be, I wanted to take that job, but I really felt God said no, and I didn't take it, even though I wanted it, because God said. Or I didn't ask that person on a date because God said. Or I broke up with that person because God said. Or I didn't ever have those moments? Those are sacrifices. Those are actual sacrifices, right? Spiritual sacrifice that please God. 1 Peter 2, 6 through 7. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for a great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. I found that over the course of time, no matter how hard something you go through, this is something I've found. If you'll just hold on to him, you're not going to be disgraced. He's not going to. You may be humbled. You may give your life up. But he's not out to humiliate you. Yes, you who trust in him and recognize honor God was given. Those who rejected him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Say, Jesus is the cornerstone of my life. If I'm the church, he's the cornerstone of my life. What are we building around? Honestly, what are we building around? As the church, are we building around our careers? Are we building around our spouses? Are we building around our children? What are we building around? Jesus is the cornerstone, right? 2 Peter, or 1 Peter 2, 7 through 8. You trust him. You recognize that God has given him for those who reject him, the stone the builder rejected. And he, the stone that people stumble and the rock that makes them fall. But wait a second. The same thing we're building our lives on, it causes us to stumble and make us trip up. Yeah, they stumble because, why? They do not obey God's word. Man, that's hard, isn't he? He's talking to the church. He's not getting on to anybody else. He's saying, you know what to do and you didn't obey. I told you to do this with your money and you did that with your money. And you're going, where's my money at? I don't know. Obey. God said, hey, I told you to do that in the relationship. And you didn't do that. And it's a mess. But no. You didn't obey. I told you to forgive because you should have grace, but you didn't obey. And you're wondering why everyone's persecuting you. Like, we have to understand that sometimes God stumbles us because it's us that's having the trouble, right? 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. But you are not like that. Look at your neighbor. So you're not like that. You're not like that. He ain't talking to you. You're not like that. You are a chosen people. Say, I am. I am chosen, right? You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. What's our job? Show the goodness of God. Is things difficult right now? Yeah. Where are you going to find the goodness of God? Because our job is to show it off, even during trials. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people. Ever feel that? Ever feel like you got nobody? I don't know. I got no family, really, that really gets me. I feel outcast. No one. He gets that. But now you are God's people. You're part of the family now. We all family in here. We all family. See, once you received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. 1 Peter 2, 11 through 12 says, dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, if you're not of this world, you're born again. If you're born again, he's talking to us about living in a different kingdom. Counterculture sometimes, right? He says, dear friends, as temporary residents, as foreigners, I warn you, the church, to keep away from worldly desires. Desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly. Say properly. Here's a fact. God is, and God has ways. And sometimes the church gets off from living God's ways. We want to worship who God is, but his ways are... And he's looking at us and going, hey, I need my ways back in your life like never before. Why? Because there's people I'm going to send to you that need to build their lives up, and you're the church. And he's poking. You feel poked at this season? Is he poking at things he's not poked at in a while in your life? You're part of the church then, right? Live properly among those, among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing something wrong, they will see your honorable behavior. And they'll give glory and honor to God. Deep breath. Here's a big challenge coming. Big challenge. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority. I'm going to break that down. Don't get nervous. But we get lost with submit. And human authority, I came out of the womb fighting authority. I fought the law, you know. I was fair. Yeah. I came out that way, Lord. For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of the state or the officials as he appointed. For the king is sent to punish those who do wrong and honor those who do right. It is the will of God that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. I remember once I was on this camping trip with a bunch. I was invited. I wanted to reach out to these guys who didn't really know Jesus, and I was really trying to be a good witness. And I not been saved too awful long, but long enough that we're engaged. She knew me. And I had been walking with God for a little while, been in the church for a little while, and submit to authority. I was trying to do everything, right? And my life had changed up completely. So I thought, I'm going to go reach out to these guys. They're older than me. They invite me on the trip. One was dating my mother. I said, I'll go on this trip, you know. And they're kicking back and they're doing things and challenging. I just don't want to be involved with some of the things they're doing. I wasn't judging it. It's like, no, I used to do that. I don't trust me doing that. There's nothing wrong maybe with me doing that, but I don't trust me doing that, so I'm not going to do that. And I was saying that a lot of things. No, I'm going to pass on that shot. You guys do it. I'm good. I'm good. No, I'm not. I didn't engage in the vulgar talk around the fire, but I was there. Hey, what about the bills? You know? And one of the guys got ticked off about it, that I wasn't participating. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? You think you're goody two-shoes? I said, no, I'm just trying to be the best Christian I can be, dude. I'm working on it. And he said, I want to get back. I want to tell your fiance all you did was chase girls up here all day long, and you were the most vulgar thing I've ever seen. And I smiled. I said, go ahead. Go ahead. He goes, I'll put $50 on it. I'm convincing the story. And I looked at the friend that went with me, and the guy looked at him. He goes, you're going to lose $50 because she knows me. I was confident. I'm not always confident. I was confident. Sometimes when you live that kind of life, people come at you. It's hard, right? By living honorable lives, sometimes you silence foolish people that make stupid accusations against you. It'll come out. Keep living. It'll come out. Keep living. It'll come out. Keep living. It says, for you are free, yet you are God's slaves. Oh, man, he's doing Yoda again. What does that mean? I'm free, but I'm a slave. I don't like the word. I don't like submission. I don't like slave. What are you doing? Back in the day, an example of this word slave is this. They call something a bondservant. And that means you were a servant in this person's house. Maybe they purchased you. We conquered a kingdom. You got raised up in our house, and you were a servant. But you had done so much that to work that off, and the master's biggest thing he could do for you was, I'm going to set you free. You've been great for the past 15 years, man. Thank you for hustling here. Go off. You're free. You don't got to serve me no more. You paid your debt. And the servant says, no, I love you so much. I never want to leave your house. I want to be a servant forever. So I'm going to put my earlobe on the doorpost of the house. And you hammer in a nail and we'll put an earring in there that reminds me if I'm forever bonded to you and I'm never leaving you. I chose to be a servant. That's how you come to Jesus, or you don't come at all. That really is. It says you're free, but you're also God's slaves by choice. You know, it's never hard for me to give up my life when I feel it's required of me because I already did. I already did it. It says, so don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone. Huh? Respect everyone. Huh? Everyone? Everybody? Have courtesy and kindness during disagreements, even with people that are just disagreeable. It ain't easy. That is not easy to respect everyone. You can be in different opinions without being degrading. Well, they stooped to this level. They punched below the belt, so I took out their knee. No, you're the church. That's not how we do it. In the hood, that's how we do it. I know. But the church might be in the hood, but you're not of the hood, right? Respect everyone. And it says, and love the family of believers. That ain't easy either. Come on. It ain't easy to love everybody. I'm not the most lovable fella. I know it. I'm prickly, you know? It says, and fear God and respect the king. Ah, the t-shirt. Fear God, respect the king. Respect can be given to the king without being in agreement. I'm going to share something that's tough, but we got to be honest with ourselves here for Pete's sake. We got to live higher. So I don't always agree with certain political parties and those that manage our country at times and currently. And when I see evil, I will call out evil. I'm just saying for me, how I use this scripture, you never see me put a face of someone online and put them in a baby carriage and say, oh, they're crying and mocking them. Why? Because that's not showing honor. It's hard. To honor somebody that you disagree with is very hard. But we got to get better at honoring. You can stand your ground and have your boundaries and stand 100% on truth, but if you do it with dishonor, you're not being the church, right? 1 Peter 2:18 through 20. Servants, be submissive to your masters. I want to get into this word submissive next week, because next week's message is probably, like I said, the most abused scripture on both sides. And I'm going to get the definition of what hupotasso means. If you're interested, I'll just call it hupotasso. It's Greek. If you want to look it up yourself later, you can. Next week, I'm going to bring out the definition. Be submissive to your masters. Anybody work jobs in here? Anybody have a job? Excellent, excellent. Anyone who does not have a job or owns your own company, someone else, you know, who pays you, but if you had a job, I want you to hear this. It's going to be hard for us to hear this. I'm going to paraphrase this. Ready? Either be respectful at work and follow the rules and do your very best Jesus impersonation, or get out of there. Stop complaining. Don't be a place that causes division. Do your job. Do it well. Do it heartily. And if you're in a place that it's not, they're not doing it for you and they're not following through the word, find another place. But do it with honor. Do it with honor. Because we have choices. We're supposed to work. And maybe you're supposed to leave a new gig, but do it with honor, right? And it says, with all proper respect, not only to those who are good and kind, but also to those who are unreasonable. He says it twice. Man. For this finds favor if a person endures the sorrow of suffering unjustly because of the awareness of God's will. What does that mean? God's ways in our lives can lead to suffering sometimes, socially, economically, and physically. Oh, it can lead to suffering. Man, I first got saved, my friends dropped me. You would have thought, man, we were boys from kindergarten to college just because I'm not smoking and chewing and running around those that do anymore. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to do what Jesus, and they just dropped me. And I knew I had to let that drop for a season. God brought them back. But I socially was an outcast now. When you came to Jesus, you become a social outcast in your circle? I did. It's not easy, right? Economically, ever suffered because, no, I could do that up for the job. I could say that, but I'm not going to undercut somebody for that promotion. I'm not going to be part of that. They're going to undercut you. Let it be. All right. After all, say for Pete's sake. After all, for Pete's sake is what he's saying. After all, what kind of credit is there if you do wrong and you're punished for it patiently? But if when you do what is right and personally and patiently bear undeserved suffering, this finds favor with God. 1 Peter 2:21 through 23. For as a believer, you have been called for this purpose. Since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow his footsteps. It doesn't come out in the positive spin very often, but there are occasional times in your walk with Jesus, if no one's ever told you this as the church, you're going to have to deal with some things, and you're going to suffer a little bit because he suffered too. And I wish it could be avoidable, but it happens. Tough happens. It does. Says, he who committed no sin, nor was there deceit ever found in his mouth, while being reviled and insulted, he did not revile or insult in return. He made no threats of vengeance. Man, that's hard for me. I don't know if you've ever been in a scrap, but I'm going to talk a little trash. Right? It's not good, but that would have been who I was. You know, and the Lord said, no, I was insulted and reviled and being killed, and I didn't say a darn thing. I didn't use my mouth for that. I made no threats. I kept trusting God who judges me. 1 Peter 2:24 through 25. And he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. It's possible. It's possible to get that stuff crushed down. Ever have something down before and then you don't have it down now and it's back up again? I had it down, My weight was down, but is currently on the up again stage. I had it down. What were you doing to keep it down? Well, I was eating not the stuff I eat. And I was doing stuff that I'm not doing now as far as exercise. And you start listing all the stuff. It's time to get back to doing the stuff. For Pete's sake. For Pete's sake. You got to be dead to sin and live for what's right. For by his wounds we are healed. Once, for Pete's sake, you were like sheep who wandered away. Anybody? Yeah, like sheep, Sean Z, right? Just wandering around. But now you've turned to the shepherd of your souls. So here's what I want to take some time to respond to. I left time for communion because if we don't respond well here, communion is just a religious ritual that we do to say, hey, it says to do it as often as we can together and do communion because that's what we do because we're the church and it's tradition. Woo! I don't want no part of that. I left all that. I don't need none of that. It's very important. But if we don't get this part down, the communion response is insignificant. So here's the things I want you to think about. As a church, I really want you to ponder. Because God's going to do something so amazing. He's going to build something so amazing with you. And this next year, we're going to punch back darkness so hard this year. God's going to do something with you that you've never had happen before in your life as the church. He's going to use you this year. He is. But this is something we got to get down for Pete's sake so we can be used. Do you need forgiveness and want to be born again? Like maybe you never made that step. Like, I know the church has been kind of trash. But yeah, I apologize, the church has been trash. Because I am the church and I know I've been trash. And I know people abuse scripture all the time to control and hurt people. But it doesn't mean it's not truth and it needs to be used the right way. And maybe you never even gave God a chance because the church was nasty. And I am sorry for that. But don't change Jesus. I don't change Jesus. So maybe you just need, I just need him to forgive me. And I want to kind of know what it's like to live a different world, a different life. But maybe you're the church and maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe like if I just looked around the room and I stared at your soul and said, is there someone you need to forgive? I'm not saying don't have boundaries. But I am saying, is there someone you need to forgive? Forgive doesn't keep grudges. It's not envious. Forgive. I'd be shocked if all of us don't have to forgive somebody. Maybe, though, you need to ask someone to forgive you. Maybe there's something you know I got to go make that right. It's going to be so hard. And I'm going to be rejected. And I might be insulted. And Jesus says, I understand. I had a pretty good message myself. But maybe it's your turn to go into the world and say it's time to forgive some people that I need to forgive. And I need to go ask for some forgiveness that I need forgiveness for. Right after I got saved, man, I made a list. Right after I found Jesus, I made a list. I started calling people. So sorry. I'm so sorry. What a jerk I was. I didn't mean to put you in the locker in high school. What an idiot. Just because your family had money, I was so stupid. Please forgive me. Those guys are friends now that weren't in high school. Because I called back and said, I'm sorry about that. I try to go through everybody. Family members, I'm calling everybody going, trying to make stuff right. Why? Because I encountered Jesus. And he forgave me. So what am I doing not forgiving somebody else? Sometimes the church needs to get back on page with that again. If we're going to be the powerful, redeeming church of God, then we better go give redemption away like he asked us to. But we've been wounded last series. It's time that we're healed so we can bring healing. 1 Peter, for Pete's sake, is foundational Christian living applied in some hard circumstances. So maybe you need to be born again. Maybe you need forgiveness. Maybe go ask. Maybe you're having a hard time being genuine. Maybe hypocrisy is your thing. You didn't realize it, but I say and I live differently when I'm not around other living church stones. I'm different. And I want to encourage you that God's using you to build the church. He's asking you to have genuine faith again. He's asking you. So maybe hypocrisy's been one of your things. But the church, there's a fix. There's a living, genuine God today. And this is probably, honestly, I feel like I'm not going to shovel rainbows at you. This is the best church I've ever been involved with. I wouldn't really want to have church anyplace else with any other people. And I get offers. I turn down speaking engagements. I don't go to camps. I just love you guys more. I just want to be here. Why? Because I've seen you respond to hard things. This church has been punched in the mouth over the past 19 years. Been punched in the mouth. But you're the kind of people that punch back. Well, I have a t-shirt idea. Hannah, our worship leader, came up with, not me. She's like, I'm going to the bathroom, Dad. I was telling her how I was feeling in worship this morning. I said, at this, I'm surly. I said, you know, people are, young kids are getting killed. There's people having problems here. I can't take the attack that's coming on the enemy. I said, I feel like today's time to punch back. I feel like punching back today in worship. Let's take somebody from the kingdom of darkness and see them released for Jesus. Let's have healing. Let's have some kind of miracle. Let's have people enter into worship that I know sang their hearts out this morning in the midst of the deepest pain they've ever been in because they wanted to give God glory. That's a moment that breaks darkness. I wanted that moment. And I said, what do you think, Hannah? She goes, yeah, sometimes it's good to give a righteous punch in the face. I said, can I put on a t-shirt? She said, no, Mom will never let you wear. But maybe it's time to punch back. Stop punching yourself and punch back. So if you need forgiveness, I'm going to ask you, everyone, to close their eyes because communion's coming up. If you need forgiveness between you and God, whatever that is, I'm not even looking at you. Unless you run up here and want me to lay hands on you directly, I'm not looking. Maybe you need forgiveness. Go to him right this second. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. You put it in your phone right now. Put it in your notes. Put it on your calendar. Call so-and-so. And be humble. And be kind. And be long-suffering. Maybe you did something and you've been dreading facing it. Go be humble. Go be kind. Go be genuine. So, Father, I pray for those categories this morning. We are your church and we've been jacked up at times. Lord, we're here. We want to be living stones that you can use. We thank you for our healing. We thank you for our forgiveness. Lord, I pray that we go out and we build better lives for other people with what we learn from you. We'd open up the doors to the temple and introduce Jesus wherever we are. There's not a situation we could come involved with that you wouldn't use us to use us, Father God. So we're coming to you this morning asking for a fresh start. We're asking for a fresh power to be the church like never before. Where the demoniacs run in here, the sick, the lame, the weak, the confused, the hurt, the mangled, the broken. Father, whatever comes our way, that we, the church, are going to be ready for them because we've strengthened ourselves in you. So, Lord, forgive us of our weakness. Forgive those that have trespassed against us. Cause us to be your church like never before. We don't envy. We don't judge. Cause us to be genuine. The very core of who we are, Lord, cause us to be genuine. In Jesus' name.